Hello, everyone, and welcome inside the film room here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Fran Duffy, joined alongside NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell. And Greg, today we are going to talk about getting after the quarterback. They would be defensive ends here in Philadelphia in the 4-3 scheme under Jim Schwartz, but edge rushers in this class. A lot of very talented players at the position. We know Myles Garrett, stud, is probably going to go in the number one overall
pick. We're not
going
to be adding to the discourse. But, you know, it's funny the point you made about the Eagles. This is really critical for them because unless Jim Schwartz totally changes his philosophy from a year ago, this is not a high-percentage blitz team. So the four-man rush is absolutely critical.
Yeah, you need to get some pressure off the edge. And so there are some big names in this class, some that are being talked about with the Eagles. You talk about a Derek Barnett from Tennessee who broke Reggie White's record, his sack record, at the University of Tennessee. When you look at Derek Barnett on tape, what do you see in him projecting to the NFL?
I find him an intriguing guy, Fran. And again, I don't know how other people feel, but my sense is he might be a little polarizing in draft rooms for this reason. Production is clearly there. In college, he could rush the quarterback. But I think when you look at traits, when you try to think of explosion off the ball, when you think of bend and flexibility, those kinds of things, I don't think he exactly is that guy. But there is something to be said for guys who, let's say, have a knack for rushing the quarterback, which is hard to sort of quantify and define, but I understand that that does exist. Some guys just do that really well, but I don't think you see the absolute ideal traits. And I'll give you a perfect example, and I think you agree. When you put the tape on of Charles Harris, who certainly doesn't have the sack numbers of Derek Barnett, but you see a snap and velocity to Harris's movement that you don't see with Barnett. Wouldn't you say that's fair?
I would agree with that.
So now you get into that conversation. Well, one guy's done it. Yes, it's in college football, and now he's going to a totally different game, but at least he's done it, and you see sacks and pressures on film. And with the other guy, Charles Harris, yeah, he certainly has good plays. You just don't see as much of it, but you just see a snap to his movement that you don't quite see with Derek Barnett.
So let me ask you this question when you compare those two players, because Barnett has won in a lot of different ways. You know, he uses a number of different
moves.
And
he uses his hands well.
He uses his hands very well. When you look at Charles Harris, he's got that great first step and he can win outside, and he also has a dynamite spin move.
Yeah.
So when you've got that really good speed rush and then also one really good counter off of that, would you rather have, and just in a vacuum, obviously, would you rather have a guy who's great at one thing and has that great counter, or someone who is a little bit more well-rounded and very diverse in his pass rush?
Well, and then you start with what can be coached and taught.
Yeah.
You know, that becomes another. I mean, one thing I thought Harris was very good at, too, was he was really good in the stunt game.
Yeah,
because
very
he's
good
got
there.
That ability because he's a little more athletically explosive than Derek Barnett of sticking that foot in the ground, that outside foot when he's the right defensive end, and then coming underneath inside.
And the Eagles run a ton of stunts.
Yeah, and he's looping behind a D tackle, you know, in a TE stunt. So can you teach guys how to use their hands? You can. But then you get into it's another layer of learning. So those are the questions you have to discuss. That's why there's no right or wrong here and why it's great conversations. But you have to try to figure that out, and then you hope you're right.
I think you get to the next tier after those two players, and you talk about a Carl Lawson from Auburn, a Tack McKinley from UCLA. Some people view Taco Charlton from Michigan.
See, I like Taco Charlton.
When you look at him, though, do you see a guy that potentially would go top 15, or do you think he'd be more of a trade-back option for the Eagles at this point in the process?
Well, that's always hard for me to answer, but I will say that I look at a guy who's almost 6'6", who's close to 280 pounds, he's got tremendous length. To me, I think he's just scratching the surface. I think he'll be a better pro pass rusher than college pass rusher.
Interesting.
I think that he's reminded me a little bit, and I'll explain the difference in a minute, of Chandler Jones coming out of Syracuse. Jones, I think, was more flexible. I think Charlton's a little more powerful. So I think Charlton has a chance to be a very good edge player with the capability of also dropping inside at D tackle because he's close to 280 pounds and giving you that position and alignment flexibility.
When you look at that position, there's so often that we get to day three of the draft and there are some really great players that come and are able to make an impact early on in their NFL careers. Why is that, number one, in your opinion, when you see some of those players come from late in the draft, maybe we're undervalued by NFL teams, come in and make an impact? Then also, are there players that fit the bill for you in this class?
I don't think it's undervalued. I think teams, and not that I'm any smarter than anybody else, I'm not, but I think sometimes teams still get caught up in the idea that a guy has to be a full-time player to be drafted high. And I think the league has changed with the proliferation of sub-package defenses, which a year ago teams played cumulatively in the NFL almost 70% of the snaps. So when teams say, well, he doesn't play every snap, that to me is not a valid argument anymore. So you look at someone like Dwayne Smoot of Illinois this year, who may not be a three-down player, but I think he has good pass rush skill. He's not Robert Quinn. His style is similar. He's just not that explosive an athlete. But I think if a guy like that can come in and play 60% of your snaps or 65% of your snaps and contribute, teams still think, well, that guy can't be drafted until the fourth round. I personally disagree with that, but I think they're still caught up in that.
We have the Tim Williams case as well.
That kid's fascinating. I know he's got off-field issues, but that kid has length and bend and flexibility. If he can stay clean and straight, that kid is fascinating to me.
Continuing, and this will be the last point, in the middle rounds, you have players like Terrell Basham from the University of Ohio, who I'm a big fan of.
Me too.
And then also a player I know you like a lot, Ifeadi Odenigbo from the University of Northwestern. Where do you see Ifeadi Odenigbo projecting the NFL?
See, I think when you watch that kid play, and he's basically a pass rusher, I think you see incredible explosion, incredible movement. He's got really strong hands. He probably needs some work. I don't think he's a guy who's going to come in right away and he's going to line up and play that often. But I think there's a lot of physical tools, a lot of tools in his toolbox, a lot of athletic traits. I really like that kid as a fourth or fifth round type pick.
Eagles absolutely could add a pass rusher in this draft. Will it happen early? Will it happen in the middle rounds or maybe not till later? Will be very interesting to watch. But as we continue to progress towards that NFL draft, stay tuned for more right here from Greg Cosell and I inside the film room.